We started talking about who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? We're talking about the authority of the believer. And then last week we talked about reigning in life under that heading. We talked about taking authority over our thoughts. And first thing we have to deal with is our own heads. To be able to walk in the authority that Jesus gave us. So who do you think you are, part three, and we subtitled it, Say or Pray. Say or Pray. And this might make the top 10 list of subjects that are most misunderstood when we're talking about faith. Do we speak to something, or do we pray about it? We're kind of going to go a lot more along the line of speaking to something, declaring something, decreeing something, more so than the prayer side tonight. It's just the way it went when I was studying. But when it comes to you personally, you have authority. You have authority over your thoughts. You have authority over your temptations. You have authority over your desires. You have the good side of that or the bad. You have authority to speak to yourself. You have authority to speak to your body. You have authority to take authority over sickness and disease or temptations. There's just no question, if it's you, you have authority. You have authority. If it comes to somebody else, there are things that we have authority over, but there are things we don't have authority over. God didn't create us to be able to have authority over somebody else's will. It's not how we set it up. We can pray for them. We can ask God to send laborers across their path. We can pray Ephesians 1. We can ask for their eyes to be enlightened, for them to have opportunity to see the truth, but they still have to choose it. Okay? So when we talk about the believer's authority, having authority over other people is not one of those things. And aren't you glad? Nan, because there's some people in this room that would want me one way, and there's other people in the room, and I would be schizophrenic, depending on who was using their authority over me. So I'm glad we don't have that authority. I'm glad God gave us free will. There's been times that I wished he hadn't given me free will, but overall, I'm thankful that he created us that way. So basically, we're going to talk about the things we do have authority over, okay, which is not other people. You have every right and actually every responsibility to speak to anything that you have authority over. You're going to run into things. We're going to talk a little bit about holy anger briefly tonight, because I felt some this week over our city, as our city's fixing to be dealing with some things over the weekend that I believe we need to be speaking to. We'll cover those once we get the mic off tonight, okay? I speak to my finances. Yes. Because I have authority to do so. I speak over our business, our church, Rusty's business. I speak protection over what belongs to me. I know I was headed home from ball games. Imagine that. Ball games this week. And I was coming in from Hector. I got about Scottsville. And the rain was heavy and thick. The roads were starting to get flooded. And the phone rings and it's Rusty. And he's at home. And he said, "Where are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm almost into Dover." And he said, "It is hailing major here." Yeah. And we live off of Highway 7 on Pleasant View. And he said, you know, and I checked myself because, you know, my car is fairly new and I like her. I like her. I don't want her hurt. I don't want her bruised, dinged up, the roof broken, you know, the glass broken. And so I checked myself. I thought, okay, do I need to pull under a canopy somewhere? And you know what? If I needed to, I would have felt that in my spirit. But that is not what rose up in me. And don't, wisdom and faith are friends. Never forget that. Amen. Wisdom and faith are friends. A lot of people want to ditch wisdom and call it faith. That does not work. If I needed to pull in under a canopy, I already knew where some were along Highway 7, at the water company, and at some of the old gas stations, I was prepared. But what rose up in me, probably because of what God's been dealing with me about the last couple of weeks, was take authority over this. Now, I can't control the weather of the whole world. I'm not called to do that. I'm not going to pray that it not rain because I'm having a picnic when the farmer next to me needs rain because his crops are going to die. I'm not talking about silly stuff. I'm talking about damaging things. And so I didn't pray about it. I didn't pray and ask God, Lord, please don't let it hail on my car. Because what I learned from Genesis and what we talked about the first week was that God gave mankind authority on this earth. And I looked at Jesus. We talked about it briefly last week. I looked at Jesus and I saw what he spoke to and what he prayed about. And he spoke to, and we're going to look at it again tonight. I saw what he spoke to, and so I thought, okay, I'm going to speak to it. And all this is going on in my head in a matter of seconds, right? So I just spoke to the sky. And I said, you will not release hail. Rusty's like, I can't believe. I mean, he didn't know what I was doing. He's like, I can't believe you're not driving in hail yet. It's never, all the way home, even when I, never. Now, I don't know if it was hailing anywhere else around me, but I was praising God that he gave mankind authority in this earth. Don't just say, oh, there's a tornado. You know, when you see a tornado, speak to that thing. Don't, oh my God, save us. No, speak to that thing. You have God-given authority established in Genesis. Jesus reestablished that, if you will. He walked in it. He showed us what it looks like, what, how we're supposed to walk in this earth. And so if he didn't cry out, oh God, save me from the wind, this storm, these waves, then that's not what I'm supposed to do either. So in a nutshell, remember, you're not commanding God, you're commanding a thing to line up with God's will and his desires. So a lot of people say, you can't command God, you can't demand. No, I can't demand God. I won't command God, but I will command things to line up with God's will and his word. And if something is going to bring harm to my community, I not only have a right, I have a responsibility to speak and to take authority over the powers that be in that situation that are not godly. I have a right to do that, and I have a responsibility. That is where Adam failed. He stayed silent. He didn't handle it. Eve didn't handle it. And so I don't want to ignore things. And when I have a right, a God-given right and God-given authority to speak things. So you're not commanding God. I don't remember who said this. I have it written in my Bible. I'm really bad about writing something down real quick and not writing who said it. But once they give it to me, I consider it mine. Okay? I mean, I've sat under too many wonderful teachers to try to keep up with who said what. Don't wait for God to do something when you're authorized to say something. Don't wait for God to do something when you're authorized to say something. We're his agents. I'm going to put it plainer than that. We are his body. We are Christ's body in the earth. And that alone should tell me that what Jesus did when he was walking on the earth, I should be doing when I'm walking on the earth. We are the body of Christ. We are to be doing the works of Christ. What were the works of Christ? What were the works of Christ? Jesus went about doing good. He went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. If there was a storm, he spoke peace to it. If there was demon spirits, he cast them out. He told them to leave. He didn't. Those are not the things he prayed about as far as what we think about prayer. Those are the things he commanded. You are the body of Christ. You may have to say that to yourself several times a day. Or when doubts start coming, like, am I really fixing to speak to the sky? Am I really fixing to command it not to hail on my car? You are the body of Christ. There's a responsibility that comes with being the body of Christ. So we mentioned this last week, but I want to look at it closer because Jesus set the example of God's intent for mankind. So go with me to Mark 4, and let's look at what Jesus spoke to and what he had authority over as the Son of God walking the earth, a son of man, right? Very seldom did you hear Jesus call himself the Son of God, though he was, is, and was. He was born into the earth to show us what children of God should look like walking the earth. Mark chapter 4, we're going to scroll down to verse 35. I'm going to be reading out of the King James Version tonight. For you King Jamesers, y'all all be happy with me tonight. I won't get any comments or letters, to which I send all of those to John to answer. All right. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Guess what Jesus is going to do? He's going to go to the other side, right? And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat onto the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I just always have to stop right there, and I always have to say this, because one of the biggest things that the enemy does to keep you from walking your authority is get you to question what's from God and what's not from God, and what God will do and what he won't do. And can you really walk in authority if you don't know God's will, and if you don't know what he's given you the authority to handle? I can tell you right now, you won't. There's nothing worse than wishy-washy authority. But when something comes against God or comes against authority, authority ought to rise up, right? You don't want to be wishy-washy out there if somebody pulls a gun on you. Barney, keep your gun in your holster if you don't know who you are, right? Some of y'all aren't old enough to know who Barney is. God love y'all. Watch Nick at Night or something. You know, but that's, you know, you don't want to come at the devil like this. You don't know who you are. We've got to be established. I believe in the last of the last days, we're more and more and more and more, we need to be established that we are the body of Christ. We have the authority to walk as the body of Christ. Where there's certain things that we have authority to speak over, to take authority over, because we are the body of Christ. And I believe even in the demonic activity, I believe we're going to see more and more where we need to know who we are in Christ, and that we have a right and a responsibility to walk in it. That wasn't in that verse, but that was good. Verse 39. And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? My head goes back, Alicia, you'll be with me here, to one of Dad's messages from way back, where he would say right here, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey?" He'll say it's an Adam kind of man. It's an Adam kind of man. It is the way Adam was to be. And Jesus is called the last Adam because Jesus did it right. Where the first Adam failed, Jesus did it right. He's giving us an example here. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey? He's Adam kind of man. He's a man who walks in his authority, his God-given authority. Jesus didn't stop and pray to the Father right here to do something because he had the authority to speak to it. He had the authority to speak to it. He rebuked the wind. And I don't remember, Tanya, where we were. I guess Tulsa. We were in Tulsa, and Rick Renner was speaking there at one of the churches, and he was speaking on this, and he did a whole thing about rebuked. And so I went back to some of the concordances and looked at this word, and it really caught my attention and kind of got me sidetracked. So y'all are going to be sidetracked with me tonight, but it goes with the message. Jesus rebuked the wind. The wind was the invisible force causing the waves. See, sometimes we get so distracted by the waves, by the things that are happening around us in your life, what the waves are, how your husband's acting, how your wife's acting, how your children are acting, how this is going on your job, or what the economy's doing. Those are just waves. Those are just the reaction of the earth to the atmospheric conditions, right? And so I love that in this gospel, Jesus rebuked the wind, the invisible force causing the waves. And he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." This word rebuked means forbid. It means to chide. I don't know if you've ever been chided or not, but chide's a word. There was no doubt. He didn't like this, and he wasn't standing for this. It means to forbid, to chide, to censure severely. To censure severely. It's an expression of strong disapproval. And then he said to the sea, "Peace, be still," which is probably my favorite part of Renner's message on that. It means a hush. And he said, the best way I can describe it is shh. Shh. He said to the sea, shh. He rebuked the wind. He rebuked the invisible force that was causing the waves, and he said to the sea, shh. And Tanya and I can't tell you how many times, because it came a revelation to us, we'll tell the situation, shh. But we take authority over whatever's stirring the situation. He rebuked the wind. He shushed the sea. I think sometimes we're all about the circumstances over what we're seeing, and we forget about the spiritual atmosphere that's actually causing the problem. And it's easy to do. It's easy for me to do. I'm not saying that everything is, you know, the earth has weather, right? I'm not saying that's demonic. But anything that's there to harm people, we have a right. We have a right to take authority over it, and we have a right to shush it. And definitely shush it so there's a peace that falls over the situation. As I studied the examples, the word rebuked was in several of them. And it continued to catch my attention. So I just really wanted to follow that vein, because usually if he catches my attention, it's for somebody. So maybe you've never looked at this, and I needed to be reminded as well that sometimes instead of me just getting so consumed with the symptoms, I need to speak to what's behind it. And so go with me to Luke 4, and let's look at another one. Y'all are going to be shushing stuff, aren't you? Shh. We use it a lot. Luke 4, let's jump in at verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and he cried out with a loud voice. Of course, this was the demon speaking, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him. He forbid him. He chided him. He censured him severely. He showed a strong disapproval and said to him, "Hold your peace and come out of him." Jesus didn't stop and say, "Oh, Father, there's a demon." You know why? Jesus knew he had authority. He had God-given authority. And he stood up in that, not Barney Fife right here. He spoke and he expected. He knew his authority. He knew his rightful place. And it amazes me that people are scared of the devil. They act like the, you know, we watch all these Marvel characters. What's the other one? Marvel and, thank you. I knew somebody over here would know. You know, there's always the superhero and the villain. Well, the devil is not equal to God on the evil side. Right. Right. Yeah. We have authority over the devil. Adam and Eve could have thrown out the serpent. He's not all that in a bag of chips, folks. We're not made to be scared of him. We can command an evil spirit. How many of you in here are born again, saved? You've accepted Jesus. You think you could raise your hand right now if the devil could have stopped that from happening? You've already overcome him. He can't stop a man from accepting him. He's not all that. He's a deceiver. He makes you think he has a right. He makes you think he's got power. He makes you think he's got authority. He doesn't. My dad, I actually think it was Charles Capps that said it first. I'll try to get my story right, but he's either my dad or Charles. They ran together all the time, not literally running. Actually, they hunted and fished together all the time. That said, all you got to have to show the devil who's boss is your birth certificate. You got a right. You've got authority. You've got God-given authority. So Jesus looked at this devil and he said, "No, you hold your peace." In other words, don't say a word, because Jesus didn't need to be revealed yet. So he shut him up and he said, "Come out of him." And you know what? That demon did not have a choice. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and they spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." Bad dreams, torment, you speak to those things. You have authority over those things. Unclean spirits, anything operating in our communities, you speak to those things. Verse 37 says, "And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever." And I looked at, because that caught my attention. She was taken with a great fever. And it was like she was imprisoned. she was held prisoner by this great fever. And they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever. He chided it. He forbid it. He censured severely the fever. He showed an expression of strong disapproval. And you know, sickness ought to make us feel that way. Because it is not of God. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Amen. God's not mixed up on what's good and evil. He sent his son to show us. He was the express image of the Father, and not once did I see him go in and put fever on somebody. Have them taken by fever. Not once did I see Jesus put cancer on somebody to teach them a lesson. Religion needs to shut up. And the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to come out of our mouths when we hear people say, and that they are so deceived to think that God might kill their child or God might kill their loved one with sickness and disease. We have authority. Look, because he had permission now, he did have permission to be there. They sought him out, right? He didn't just go in there and stick healing on somebody. If people don't want to be healed, you don't have to worry about sticking healing on them. It won't stick. Faith makes healing stick, right? But they sought him out. She was taken with a great fever. He rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And so he shut them up. He shut them up. He called them out. He shut them up. I want you to pay attention when you see Jesus with a holy anger, when you see him rebuke something, those same things should bring a holy anger in us. Someone taken with sickness and disease. Someone tormented with what is often labeled as mental illness. When people are tormented in any way, a holy anger ought to be there in us. And if you can't talk with the person, pray for the person, then take authority over things in the spirit realm. Isn't that really what intercession is? Pay attention to holy anger when you feel it. If you feel a holy anger, there's something there that needs to be addressed, and you have the authority to address it. Whether privately or publicly, you'll know in your spirit. But you'll have, if a holy anger arises in you, there's something there that needs to be addressed. And once again, when you do, never forget that you are the body of Christ and that you have the right and the responsibility. You've been authorized, deputized, if you will, to speak to it. When Jesus prayed, I started looking at when Jesus prayed. Because I thought, okay, well, when did Jesus pray and when did he say? And you could probably go through and find some different, but majorly, mostly, Jesus was praying to hear the Father's will for his own direction. He was praying for the people. In John 17, he prayed for you. If you've never read his prayer in John 17, he prayed for those that would believe on him because of the disciples and the apostles. So that's me. That's you. He prayed that we would know the Father, and be one with the Father, like he's one with the Father. He prayed for us. And so I think we've got to think about this and realize when we need to be speaking something and when we need to be praying about something. Father, is this something I need to speak? Is this something I'm authorized to speak over? Is this something that I need to be praying about? And sometimes we'll talk to God about something, which that's a lot of what my praying is seeking his wisdom. And sometimes he'll give you a word, a rhema word. He'll give you a scripture that you need to be speaking into a situation. So I'm not saying don't pray about it. Sometimes we need to know how to handle it, what to say. A scripture that we need to be speaking over our city for this weekend. You know, Father, how do I need to pray? I'm going to be praying for the people that are gathered around the train depot for Pride Month this weekend. He loves every single one of those people. I need to be praying for those people, that laborers would come across their path to minister to them the love of God and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I also need to be speaking to the wind that's causing the waves. I don't want to do one and forget to do the other, because what we're looking for is an eternal change. Amen. In people's lives. Yes. Here on earth, but also after they walk out of these bodies, we want an eternal change. So that's been heavy on my heart this week, in particular the things they have planned for children. I've been praying against Story Hour. That they're planning to hold inside the train depot, drag queen story hour. There's just some things. This is our city, ladies and gentlemen. This is our town. We don't need to just talk about it and say, no, we need to be praying for the people, but we also need to be rebuking the wind. Because I love them. Because if my Father loves them, I love them. And if I want to be free from the things he set me free from, I want them free from the things they need to be set free from. So we got to have the right attitude, but we also don't want to ignore our responsibility and our authority that we have. So you can write that down to be praying over and to be speaking over. This weekend, Jesus understood what he was to pray to the Father about, and then what he had the authority to speak to, and that's really what I want to think on. So before we wrap up and let you say a few things, Ephesians 6:10. I'm not going to talk about the armor of God. I just want us to understand and remember verse 12 in particular. We'll start in verse 10. Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So this isn't you having to have the power to cast out a demon, or you having to have the power to rebuke. You have his power. It's not your, it's, man, so much of this is, my dad's words are coming back to my head. He never shuts up. He's just right here. And I'm thankful. Your authority releases God's ability. How many times can you remember him saying that? Your authority releases God's ability. Because the way God set it up, the way God chose, yes, God is sovereign. And in his sovereignty, he set it up and he works through man. God didn't come down here without coming incarnate, without coming as a man. He set it up. He gave man dominion. And he held true to that. We watched it with Noah. I mean, you just go through, and he always worked through mankind. And so, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery or the schemes, the plots of the devil. For we wrestle not. This is what we have to remember, church. We wrestle not against Democrats and Republicans. We wrestle not against gay or straight. We wrestle not. See, we get we're looking at the waves. We're looking at the waves, and it's the wind. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This weekend, pray for the people. Take authority against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Yes. We've got to remember where the real, where it's really happening.
That's right.
He's called us to a place of authority, not so we can sit by and watch and talk and complain and post about. Not to condemn, but to come against the spirit that's behind the torment in the lives of people. And I believe it's going to come to you this weekend, starting now. I think the intercessors prayed over it tonight. We're going to not just ignore what's going on where we have authority. I believe our city, we have authority here. I don't want to hear about, you know, casting out demons, throwing up in buckets or anything like that. But if you've got something that's encouraging, you got another scripture that goes with this, then we do this at the end. For those of you who don't know, Front Row Nan, it's her new name, Front Row Nan. Garrett's coming up behind you.
Hello.
I want to borrow Rusty's pen in case I need to write something down.
I have a quick one. So Pastor Susan's talking about the delegated authority that we have through the name of Jesus and the blood and the word and so forth. So in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he didn't actually use the word church. He used the word ecclesia. And in the Greek culture and the Roman culture too, ecclesia meant a governing body, a body of authority, like your city council.
Yes.
Or the board of directors, something
That's
along
good,
that
Nan.
Line. So we are, I think about this all the time, I'm always yapping about it. We, the church, the body of Christ, is a governing authority on earth.
Yes.
We are the only authority God has a window to use on earth. He's given that authority to us.
Yes.
And we must exercise it.
That's good. And Nan, that word censure that was given, I think it was the Strongs that gave that word. Not positive on that. But I had to look it up because it reminded me of the word censor, but it's different, censure. And so I looked it up in the dictionary, and, you know, Webster's or whatever was online. And it they use it a lot in politics because censure has to come from an authoritative power. And so when he censured the wind, that had to come from a place of authority. Travis.
When he said peace, then he said be still. The word for be still means be muzzled.
Yes, I saw that. I loved it.
So
yes.
It's actually from the word for a muzzle.
Yes.
And he said that both to the wind, and he also said it to the demon when he was casting out the demon later on. He said the same thing. And circumstances have a voice. And if you let them persist, it'll erode your faith, try to wear away at your faith. So that's why you have to. That's why it
Muzzle
said 40
it.
Days. Goliath challenged them, and that's every good. Day they got more scared.
Yeah.
And that's why David had to come along, you know, with a fresh perspective because they were all in agreement in their compromise.
That's good.
So we have to. We can't deal with it for a long
so
time
because
the longer you deal with it, the bigger that voice gets and the smaller the voice of God gets.
That's good.
I don't agree with everything this guy says. So I won't even say who it is, but this is a good nugget.
Okay.
To your point about anger, he said, whatever angers you is what you're assigned to correct. and whatever grieves you is a sign of what you're assigned to heal.
I think I know who that was. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good. But that is so good.
And that does. And that brings to another point, to your point about, I'll use a different metaphor. You know, it was the wind causing the wave. Another way of looking at it, John the Baptist said, the axe is laid to the root. Christians are real bad about picking fruit.
Yeah.
They're not getting to the root of what is causing the situation. And sometimes people are rebuking, like depression, and they've grieved the Holy Spirit all week. And the reason that I am convinced, and I'm telling you to get off your depression medication. Your doctor put it
right,
on. This isn't a medical diagnosis. I don't know how many people have died taking medical advice from a preacher, but I'm sure the number's not zero. This isn't a medical diagnosis, but I'm convinced there are people on depression medication because they've grieved the Holy Spirit year after year after year after year. And it also, if you're dealing with depression, you saw something in the Word, and you saw that it was yours. And somewhere back there, you got in the wrong crowd, or just circumstances caused you to let go of that. So there's something on the inside of you that's incomplete because you know that's yours. Well, as people are just rebuking the symptoms, no, go back and get before God and say, okay, what is the source behind this discomfort I'm sensing?
David did that, right?
Yes, he encouraged.
Why are you disquieted within me?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that's the way a leading will come. Just dissatisfaction. Everything's fine. Every move I've had started this way. Because it talks about the eagle stirring up its nest. You know, the when the eagle builds its nest, it puts all these furs and all this soft stuff in there. But when it's time for the bird to leave the nest, it starts pulling all that stuff. And next thing you know, that every time that bird moves, the little sticks poke him. And there's and that's what it kind of feels like. There's like a dissatisfaction.
That's good.
You know, another thing, it puts little toys in there for them to play with, and it'll cast those out too. Your toys, you know, this thing that, this hobby even, that used to fulfill me is not fulfilling me anymore.
Yeah.
It's because I've stuck in the nest too long.
Yeah.
There's something I need to launch out into.
That's good.
So we gotta be sure we're not just plucking fruit, you know.
Yeah.
Then we speak to it. We speak to that situation, and that's what'll bring the fulfillment.
That's good.
And then in James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You know, there are some people that are yielding to the devil all day long, and then at night they want to resist the devil and speak to the devil, and he just laughs at them because they have yielded to him more than they have to God. So there is a hierarchy in that.
Yes.
And this is just kind of to the point of what's going on. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That word is arche, and it also speaks of origins. That there is these spiritual forces that want to attack your origins. You know, and there's several ways of looking at that. You know, that you're not what God created you to be. And that's what we're seeing today.
Yes.
Is a spiritual attack on your origins. And also that we are who we are connected to and who we are in Christ. You know, the biggest problems I've had in my life is when I lost sight of who I was in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, when I lost my vision. That's why it says where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to keep that vision stirred up. You know, a football player is not going to go out there and do jumping jacks in 100-degree heat if he don't have a view to the game on Friday night.
Yeah.
You know, so that vision, that joy that's set before you is what gives you the discipline to do the things of God.
Thank you, Lord. That's good. Anybody else? You know you do. Somebody. Miss Marilyn. When Miss Marilyn speaks, we all listen, especially all of y'all that came through Children's Church.
Well, I was looking at the scripture about when Jesus spoke to the fever. I was listening to Keith Moore one day, And he was talking about that speaking of things. And he said when Jesus went in and spoke to the fever, he said, can fevers hear? Yeah. Mm. And he said the fever left, so a fever must have heard.
That's good.
So that's helped me a lot when things would come yes. up. I would speak to it because they hear. And if they hear, they'll leave.
Which goes yeah. right with what Travis said. They yeah. It speaks, too.
It speaks.
Symptoms yeah. speak.
Symptoms speak. But that really helped me.
It's the family row.
Isn't it family? No. One thing about whenever you were reading about the demoniac that he was dealing with, too, and it kind of can go with this weekend. I'm not setting us up to see right. something like that. But if you'll notice in a lot of these, he did cast them out, and they were coming out. But you'll see, and then the spirit tore him one more time or flopped yeah. around or did whatever.
Yes.
Don't lose it whenever they're being torn because they're on their way out, but they're making a show.
Yeah.
Don't take your words off of
it. Right, that's good.
Because what would have happened if Jesus would have, oh, my goodness. You know?
Yeah, because the people around on one of them
yes.
said, he's dead.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
whenever...
That's good.
Whenever anything tries to manifest, it's kicking up its last heel. Just look at it as it's about to exert itself and
that's
it's
good.
On its way out. Don't take your words off of it when
yeah.
there's a big show.
Yes.
Most things that we read about with any kind of satanic activity like that, there's a lot of show. And there may be show this weekend, but we don't take off what we're instructed to pray. And to his point, whatever's grieving your heart, it's
yes.
grieving it for a reason. It's your word.
That's right.
And you may be responsible then if the Lord
that's
tells
right.
you, sit down and pray. That's my responsibility to take
yes.
on at that moment. But again, if it tears them, if it does whatever right in front of you, don't take your words off.
That's good. First words matter, last words stand, right, Johnny? First words matter, last words stand. All right. It's a great subject. I want to encourage you to go. Read the Gospels. We talked about this, I think, last week. Read the Gospels. Watch where Jesus, what he prayed about, and what he spoke to. Because he is your example of how we're supposed to function. And if you need to, every day, say, I'm part of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And I think you're going to start seeing things around you that you need to be speaking over and to. Amen. Father, we don't take lightly your spurring us on the inside. We want to hear what you want done and how you want it done. So Father, we thank you for our city. We thank you for our communities. We thank you for all the churches. We thank you for the gospel that's being preached. We thank you for the right and for the authority to not just let things move. Father, even as we look on the website and we check at the offenders in our area for the safety of our people, Father, we don't just want to look, we want to speak. And these evils are not allowed in our communities. Help us to see who we are in Christ Jesus. Help us to, Holy Spirit, to be bold that you live on the inside of us and that it's not by our might or our power, but it's by the Spirit and that we need to walk in the things that you've called us to. We just ask you to prompt us and we will speak, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen.